Welcome to Politics Ohio. I'm Emily McCord. Today, I'm joined by Sonari Glinton. He is a reporter for NPR News. Welcome.
Thank you.
You've been in Ohio this week covering the ongoing debate over collective bargaining. And I'm curious, how does Ohio compare to what's happening in Wisconsin and in other parts of the country?
Well, the difference between Ohio and Wisconsin runs deeper than Buckeyes and Badgers. It's in Wisconsin, the teachers union is really the one that's sort of like on the block, whereas police and firefighters have been cut out. In Ohio, police and firemen are a part of this group that is having their collective bargaining rights curtailed some. So in Ohio, the Senate Bill number 5 would take away all the rights to collective bargain for state employees and then limit them only to salary for local workers. So that includes firemen, police, etc. And that's a huge difference because politically, it's sort of hard sometimes for Republicans to vote against bills that would be seen to be anti-police or anti-fire. And in Ohio, that's going to be a political problem for some Republicans.
I want to ask you, since you are a business reporter for NPR, Ohio Republicans say changes to collective bargaining will help the budget deficit and promote job growth. And Democrats say, well, no, it doesn't. What impact would changes to Ohio's collective bargaining have on business in the state?
Well, I talked to Kevin Bacon, who is a senator from Senate District number 3, and he's the chair of the committee that is, you know, having hearings on Senate Bill number 5. And he would say that what it does is it allows state and local governments to have flexibility so that if they wanted to increase or decrease wages, they could, instead of being locked into labor contracts. And so that it's not necessarily that it would be a line item on the budget, but it would allow the state and the municipalities to go and make changes as the economy got better or it contracted.
Are there other states in the country that have been either positively or negatively impacted through collective bargaining when it comes to attracting business?
Well, that is sort of the contentious issue. You know, there are right-to-work states, and then there are states that are unionized. So for instance, Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan are not right-to-work states. There is, you know, the jury's sort of out on whether or not there is a benefit to being a right-to-work state or being a state where, you know, public employees are parts of unions. You know, you have arguments on either side, but the studies, study after study sort of shows that there's not that much productivity. Like, there's productivity doesn't sort of change when groups are unionized or not. So it doesn't really have an effect. That's what at least, you know, recent studies have shown.
One of the other big arguments here is whether or not public sector workers get paid more than the private sector counterparts. Is there a definitive answer to that question?
There's not a definitive answer, but a lot of times you'll hear politicians say, well, that public sector workers make more than private sector workers. But you have to think first that often private sector workers have, on average, lower education. The real way to look is to look job to job. That's where you would look to find out if, you know, a teacher in the public school makes the same as a teacher in a private school, or a doctor at a public hospital makes the same as a doctor at a private hospital. When you do those comparisons, public employees end up making less often. But, you know, critics would say, how often does a, you know, a private sector lawyer work 70-hour weeks, and how often does a public sector worker work 70-hour weeks? And also, a lot of times people talk about wages and they don't include pensions. So, you know, it gets a little tricky, but those are some things to think about when you hear people talking about the difference between private sector workers and public sector workers.
Now, President Obama was in Cleveland this week, and he was talking about jobs, but he did not address collective bargaining. What's the significance of that?
The president sort of got his hand slapped last week when he mentioned Wisconsin. You know, there's some thought in Washington, at least, that the president is going to let this sort of play out because that it's a changing of the way the administration looks at strategy, that it's going to pick a topic, it's going to pick a thing, a theme, and follow that theme for a week instead of sort of, you know, going from issue to issue in a week. So if the president is focused on jobs, he's only going to talk about jobs all week and not sort of react to these cyclical things that keep popping up. But it's also, you have to realize the political calculation is that the president doesn't want to be seen as meddling or playing politics. But there is no doubt that the White House and people in the White House are looking very closely at what's going on, because in a way it sets up 2012 to allow this drama to sort of go on, allows for people, the emotions to get stirred up, especially among union workers who then go to vote and pull the lever for Democrats.
I've been speaking with Sonari Glinton from NPR News. Thanks so much for being here.
Happy to do it.
You're listening to 91.3 WYSO.